This morning marks the fourth and final part of our series on generous giving. 3 weeks ago, Phil was talking at Worship for All about generous giving of our time. And then 2 weeks ago, on Remembrance Sunday, Nick was reminding us of those who gave their lives in the service of their country and of their fellow humanity. And then last week, Leslie was talking to us about God's generosity to us. And the way these sermon series work is I invite the other preachers to choose which particular subjects they want to preach on, and I preach on whatever is left. And so this morning I'm going to be talking about our generosity with money. Let me start with a story. A man goes for an interview, a job interview. And halfway through the interview, the inevitable question arises. What would you say is your greatest weakness? And the man thinks for a moment and he says, well, sometimes I struggle to distinguish between reality and fantasy. And the interviewer pauses for a moment and thinks about that. And then he asks the inevitable second question, and what would you say is your greatest strength? And the man says, I'm really Batman. I thought that might help us to focus on some of the fantasies around what Christian giving is this morning, and also the reality. There are three fantasies, I think. The first is that giving in church is a tax. It's something that the powers on high ask us to pay and leave us little choice whether we pay or not. You know that you don't have any choice to pay tax. If your bill from the Inland Revenue arrives for £1,000, you can't really write back to them and say, here's a cheque for £500, that's all I feel like paying this year. That will end you up in prison, I fear. Tax is something we have to pay. But you'll recognise as you come into church this morning, there is no compulsion at all on you to give. You can come in and go out, not give a penny, and nothing changes. Giving is entirely voluntary. Another fantasy which people have about giving is that it's a bit like paying a bill. You come into church and you get a service. We've heated the church for you, some mornings better than others. You listen to inspiring sermons, the organs play beautifully, we receive bread and wine, and there's even tea and coffee afterwards. And we can think of our giving as paying the bill for that service in the same way as you would pay for a meal at a restaurant when you'd finished eating it. But again, I hope you recognise that there is no compulsion on you to pay for what you received this morning. You will get exactly the same whether or not you put hundreds of pounds on the plate, a few pennies on the plate, or nothing at all. There is no relationship between the service you receive and what you give. The third fantasy, and this is the one that I fear sometimes I've given you a reason to embrace, is that giving is a bit like giving alms to someone in need. That when we give in order to meet a need. And I confess I've often described to you the church's needs in the hope that people will give in response. I've talked about the challenges we have as a church in paying our way, and I haven't lied to you, that is a huge problem that we have. And I've also set before you some of the inspirational things that I hope, if we can raise more money, that we'll be able to do in the future. Things like running an eating disorders course, things like finding a new venue for our church plants, things like employing a youth worker to work with our young people. And it's easy when you hear those things to get caught up with the idea that it's a bit like giving to the food bank, which is a commendable thing to do, that we're helping out those that need it. But that too is a fantasy. That's not what Christian giving is actually all about. What we heard in Malachi chapter 3 that Sarah read for us, is that giving is first and foremost worship. It is us offering our best to God because God is worth it. And make no mistake, when those ancient peoples gave, they weren't giving money because money was relatively unimportant to them. They were giving the first fruits of their harvest. And notice it's the first fruits. They gave their first and their best to God because they recognised how much God was worth their sacrifice. And when you recognise that giving is worship, then you recognise it's not then about the gift, but it's about the giver. Let me try and illustrate that for you. Fran and I were in Sheffield Catholic Cathedral on Friday afternoon. It's a long story. And we were looking around, and while we were doing so, there was a group of, I guess, of about a dozen people who were worshipping. They were primarily praying. I heard them say over and over again at the Our Father and Hail Mary. But every now and again, they would burst into song. I have to tell you, it was not a pleasant noise. This was not Jonathan Vieira, this was Eric Morecambe, all the right notes, but definitely not in the right order. And it was hard not to raise a smile, so distorted and untuneful was this sound. But I'm sure you know that when that worship reached heaven, God was not listening to the tunefulness of their voices. God was attending to the hearts that people giving up their Friday afternoons to come into church and to pray for his word. That is what worship is. It's not about the gift we offer, but it's about the spirit in which we give that gift. With Steve's help, we're now going to watch a little video clip which illustrates this a little further for you. That's a modern day version, isn't it, of that story we heard from Luke chapter 21 of the widow's mite. Someone giving all that they have. And just as Jesus commended that widow, surely he would have commended that little boy, giving all that he has just to make a difference to someone else. And when you understand that giving is about our worship, that it's about what our hearts are doing rather than what our wallets and purses are doing, you understand that God takes the gifts that we give and that he magnifies and he multiplies them in his service to make a difference in the world that we live in. One final story for you to hopefully make this point. Over the years, I've raised many grants for the church, £50,000 for the playground in Allsley Green, £10,000 for the kitchen here, £650,000, not for this church I'm afraid, for my previous church, for a community centre in Binley Village. But earlier this year I got a grant of £160, a very small grant by comparison with some of those other grants. But that was a grant to take the young people of Tyre Hill that we work with in our drama group to the theatre in Stratford, to spend a day with the RSC staff and to learn how to perform Shakespeare. At the end of the day, performing on one of the Shakespeare stages, those young people performed for parents and other gathered adults. And you need to understand, these are children, some of whom live on the top floors of high-rise flats in Tyre Hill, where they are plagued with damp and suffer with breathing difficulties as a result. These are children who come to our drama group and the first thing they want to do, the first thing they need to do is eat. And they will just fill both hands full of food and not participate in the drama till they've filled their stomachs. These are children who's, because of some of their behavioural challenges, have been thrown out of every group they've ever been part of, but have found a home with us. These are children who've been told at school over and over again, you're no good, you can't do it, whose confidence has been broken. And these are children who performed on that stage with their faces beaming and bringing a glow to my heart. A very small gift, really, in the great scheme of things, but one which made a great difference to those young people. And that's what God does with the gifts that we give when we give them in worship. As I say, it's not about the size of the gift. It's about the size of the heart of the giver.